object, complicated, far-fetched, and not to be understood. This master tried his best to make it simple and keep it simple. And it is simple. Okay, let's see the simplicity. A teacher wants to teach you something. That's something everybody knows what it is. Changing yourself, discovering yourself, understanding yourself, and arriving to realization of your life and what are you going to do with it, right? This is what this is all about. Every taste of enlightenment is about that, right? So, simply should start with what? Make your mind simple, and you will see. In the first book, two things could be brought to your attention. First should be what the problem is. The second should be what could be done about it. Right? That's how I see this book, and I divide it into these two sections. We are in section one. What is the problem? The problem is described here within eight distinct stories, right? In eight stories, Rumi will explain what the real problem is. Why you are not full of joy, why happiness is not there. Okay. So, wherever we started to read a part of this book, we'll refer to these stories, because each story explained one thing. We are at the seventh story. Sixth story explained something. This is the seventh, and the eighth is the last. The eighth is looking at the problem broadly and seeing it all together. We started to go through story to story, means going through the problem step by step. I hope everybody remembers what the first story was about. Well, I hope that, because I tried my best and in a way I force you. I push you to memorize the first story, and not memorize it, understand it, because I firmly believe that if you understand it correctly, the rest is easy. If you don't understand that one, the rest is almost impossible. Because the first story, not only you go through the first step, you come to get familiar with the language of Rumi and how he is telling the stories, how he is discussing the subject, right? His style. What is his style? Let's go back to the first story. What was the first story about? Do you remember it? You have to.
Yeah.
You have to remember it, because that's the main problem of us. I mean, if somewhere you're thinking in philosophy, in whatever the field of thought you are in, you will wonder that what Rumi thinks about this. Let me refer to myself. What is the problem? What is my problem? Main problem, Rumi explained in the story of King and the Handmaiden. Handmaiden is the problem of the king, right? What's your problem? The handmaid, intelligence of you, is your problem. Isn't this the first paragraph of the first story? Right? So, your problem is the handmade logical way of thinking for you. We call it intelligence, right? This is how you should remember it. Then, one question, what's the problem with the logic? Okay, logic is my problem. I got it. That was the message, right? Logic is my problem. What's the problem of the logic? What's wrong with it?
It doesn't care about you.
It doesn't care about me. I would have loved that you will brought it later, as Rumi did. In the fifth or sixth paragraph, we realized that, yes, that's true. The female Lahi told us that this is what the problem is. This handmaiden doesn't care about you, cares about the goldsmith outside. Okay, but before that, in the first paragraph, I always go to the first paragraph. The beginning.
It doesn't know how to deal with exceptions.
Exactly. Intelligence knows the rule, but is incapable of understanding the exception. And the exception is the subject we want to talk about. Namely, love. Love obeys no rule and could not be understood logically. That's the problem of handmaiden. You see how he brought it in? Read in the book his son like this. Your problem is intelligence, handmade for you. And what's wrong with it? It doesn't get the exception. And look at it now. I brought it in and said, there is no exception. He said, okay, let's leave this intelligence behind and go somewhere else, that this intelligence is not at work. Paragraph 2. What was it?
So this intelligence is not
at work.
At work.
Where? He said, there are other universes you live in. Let's start with dream. When you are in that state, you experience something and your intelligence is not active. So let's even leave that behind. Let's go to the field of imagination. Let's go even further. The realm of non-existence. That's where we are going to look for that. Because dream is a part of me and it has a very strong influence of my heart and feeling and the moment. Logic is missing. I don't. Then further is imagination, which is the source of creativity. Then is non-existence. We'll talk about non-existence. You know that at the end, we are going to talk about Fagra and Fina, not having and not being. Those belong to non-existence. Stuff will be there. Let's stay here. I said, okay, the problem is your intelligence is familiar with the rule, but doesn't get the exception. Let's dig in dream, imagination, and non-existence. Because there is some knowledge over there, Hikmat. That Hakim comes from there. What was the third paragraph?
Going to the mosque.
No, that was the second one. Going to the mosque, crying, sleeping, going to imagination, and seeing the image of the teacher.
The meeting with the wise.
Really?